Well, I'd like to talk just a few minutes about what we just saw. It's the best news you've ever heard in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And like we said, he didn't do it for himself. He didn't need it for himself. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for all of us who will believe. Well, Romans 10:8 says, what saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now, we're going to see this thought repeated three or four times in the next few verses. But everybody say two things. Two things. Two places. What are the two things? Believing and saying. And the two places, the heart and the mouth. You don't believe with your head. Faith is not a product of the intellect or the understanding. Faith is of the heart. Go on, let's keep reading. Next verse. He said, verse 9, that if you will what?
Confess.
And then, lest there was any question about it, confess with your mouth. This is you or me making sounds.
Amen.
Out of our mouth. This is not mental contemplation.
Amen.
This is speaking out loud, audibly.
Amen.
If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe where?
In your heart
that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
He didn't make it hard.
No.
He did all the work.
Yeah.
But he won't force you to believe.
That's right.
And he won't force you to confess.
Amen.
And if you won't do it, if a person won't do it, they won't benefit from what he's done. Even though he's already paid for it, it must be received.
Amen.
Must be received. The way you do is you make the choice to believe it in your heart. It's not reasoning. It's not logic. It's not rationalizing. It's a choice. I mean, if I told you something right now and I said, I did this, I saw this, you weren't there, I'm just telling you, then you'd have a choice to make. You either believe it or you don't. Right? And it's a choice. Well, that's what we're talking about. What these children just portrayed was scriptures in multiple places. And you either believe it or you don't. The Bible said if you believe and you act on it and baptize and confess, you'll be saved. If you don't believe, you won't be saved. You'll be condemned with the world. And you won't be saved. So, you know, sometimes people talk about when some people die, there's kind of a standard thing. Well, you know, they're in a better place. Not if they didn't receive Jesus.
That's right.
Huh? People are too loose with these kind of things. No, heaven is real. Hell is real. And life does not, existence does not end with physical death. This, what's happening right now, is the shortest thing we will ever do. The Bible said this life down here is like a mist. It's like a vapor that just, there it is, and now it's gone. That's our life down here. And what happens after this is what's long. Eternity. Goes on and on. The Bible says eon after eon. Are you thankful that you have made the choice to believe? Are you thankful that you have opened up your mouth and you confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father? And what is it that you also need to believe? Look at that verse again. You believe what? Verse 9. That God has what?
Raised.
Has raised him from the dead. Now, that's very specific. Why does that need to be stated? Because there are people who say, you know, I do believe that Jesus was an actual person, and that's a historical account, and that he was a wise teacher, and he was a very moral individual, but you know, raised from the dead, nah, I can't accept that. Born of a virgin, no, no, no. Well, these people don't believe it. They're not saved.
Amen.
They are lost. They have not done what we're looking at, what we're reading it, which is why, if you don't believe in miracles, you don't believe in God. Period. If you don't believe, you know, if I can't see it, if I can't feel it, it doesn't exist, it can't happen. Well, then you don't believe in thoughts. You don't believe in love or joy or peace or any of that. No, see, there is the real unseen realm. God is spirit. These things are real. Angels are real.
Amen.
Heaven is real.
Yes.
Hell is real.
Yes.
And Jesus did rise from the dead.
Yes, sir.
He did.
Yes.
Yes, he did. So, Mr. Well, how do you know you weren't there? I bears witness with my spirit, and I have chosen to believe it. Hallelujah. I believe it. And I confess it with my mouth. God has raised Jesus from the dead, and he is my Lord. I confess him as my Lord, and I am a saved individual. On my way to heaven. Some people, you know, intellectuals sometimes say, well, you poor things. Y'all are just poor, ignorant people. You need the crutch of religion. Hey, leave us alone. We're happy. We're happy. We're having fun. We're doing good. Leave us alone. What's sad is if these people don't change, when they die, they're going to get a revelation. And it's going to be too late. It doesn't matter what you believe. It is how it is. No matter how you believe, and when people die, there are no unbelievers after you quit breathing. You find out. You know, it's not all over, and you're going somewhere. Now keep reading. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For... And see, this is the third time he brings this up. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The mouth part, the confession part, is not optional. It's required. If you don't believe it enough to say it, you don't believe it enough. And the Lord works with what we say. Hebrews talks about that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Christianity is even called the great confession. Well, confession is saying something. Verse 11, the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Said out loud, confess with your mouth. Call on the Lord.
Call
on the name of the Lord.
And be saved.
You must say something. It's not optional. You must say it. And it's connected. If you believe something real strong, it wells up in you. It comes out of your mouth naturally. Huh? Now look with me, if you would, in the book of Isaiah. This was quoted by our children just a moment ago. Isaiah 53. Isaiah, by the Spirit, saw centuries later from where he was. And he saw the Master come to the scourging post and to the cross. He saw him scourged and mocked and rejected and crucified. He saw this in the spirit hundreds of years, more than that, before it happened. This is one of the reasons you know you can trust your Bible. Things were prophesied in Scripture thousands of years before they happened, and they were described with precision. I mean precision. And you know, the Lord told Abraham to the day, 4 centuries from him, when he would bring those people out of Egyptian bondage. To the day. How could any human being write such things? Only by inspiration from on high, from a God who is real and sees the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust your Bible.
Yes, sir.
Trust it. It is perfect. If you think you found a mistake in the Bible, you just found something you don't understand. I'm talking from experience. There's been numerous things I thought, hold on now. That didn't seem to... And sometimes 5 years later, sometimes 10 years later, I go, okay. It's perfect. Fits perfect. But we only know in part. That's the thing. Isaiah 53:7. The prophet saw Jesus and he describes this. This is talking about Jesus. Now, there's no question that he's talking about Jesus. If you read in Acts, the 8th chapter, it says so, that this passage is referring to Jesus. He said he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet, what didn't he do? Now, do you see the contrast here? How do we get saved? We have to open our mouth. So when it came down to it, for him to take our place and be judged, what did he refuse to do? He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, or doesn't speak. So he what? Opened not his mouth. Everybody say, he opened not his mouth. That's another way of saying he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Again, he didn't do it for himself. It was for our mistakes. Now, you'll see this in... the gospel accounts that the children just portrayed. When they came to take him away, you saw them, the guards came and took him away. They took him first to the high priest, and then they took him to Pilate, and Pilate sent him to Herod. But in every one of those accounts, it says he wouldn't say anything. Listen. Mark 14:55, it said the chief priest and the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death and found none. Many bear false witness against him. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witness against thee? Verse 61, but he held his peace and answered nothing. He wouldn't open his mouth. And you keep going, Mark 15:3-5, the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And when they brought him to Pilate, Pilate said, answerest thou nothing? Look at how many things they witness against you. Verse 5, but Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. He's not going to say a word. They're accusing him of all these things, and he wouldn't even deny it. He just stood there and didn't open his mouth. So Pilate sent him to Herod. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was glad. He thought maybe he'd see a miracle because he had heard about miracles. Verse 9, he questioned with him in many words. This is Luke 23:9. He questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priest and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Why this repeated? He didn't answer anything. He didn't say anything. He opened not his mouth. When it started going down that the guards and everybody came to get him, and you saw the depiction of Peter and breaking out the sword and all of that, and one of the things that the master said is, put up your sword. He said, don't you know, I could call on the Father right now. Anybody remember this? I could call on Him. Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, come on, are you hearing this? Shall be saved. He's saying, if I call on the Father, don't you know? He would send me right now 12 legions of angels. Well, legions, each legion was thousands. So he's saying, you know, I know you're out here swinging your blade and trying to do something, but don't you know? Do you not know? I could call on the Father. And there, this place would be covered up in mighty angels of God just here to deliver me right now. But he said, if we do that, how will the scriptures be fulfilled? Even when he was hanging on the cross, they mocked him and said, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Could he have called on the Father? Oh, come on, are y'all with me? Could he have called on the Father at any point, at any time, and he would have been delivered just like that, but you and I'd be lost? I said, we'd be lost. He opened not his mouth. This is how God the Father created the universe. He opened his mouth. Is that right? He opened his mouth and he spoke and it became. He said, light be, and light was. This is how God operates. Everything he does is with words, including our new birth. And Jesus himself is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Look with me in the book of Acts. I won't keep you but just a little bit longer. Book of Acts. Is this important, though? It is so important. Why was this such a thing about Jesus not opening his mouth? He was having to bite his lip to keep from stopping this. Can you see? He said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down. And I have commandment to take it back up. But he was sorely tempted to say something. To call. I mean, why did he bring this up? I could call right now. It's on his mind. Right? He's right there. And you know, when you start hurting and the pain starts and all the other starts and you know you can stop it at any moment, oh, you'd be pulled. Oh, you'd be tempted. Don't you respect him? Yes. His self-control. Amen. And why? Because of love. Yes. Huh? He couldn't stop it or our redemption would be stopped. He couldn't bring it to an end and save himself or we would be lost. We wouldn't be saved. But here's the thing. He didn't open his mouth. Not so we could be dumb and silent. He didn't speak. So we can. Oh, hallelujah. So we can. And that's why it's written, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever speaks up and speaks out and calls out and cries out, shall be saved. And if you'll believe it in your heart and you will confess it with your mouth, speak it out, say it, you shall be saved. Now there's an example of this in the book of Acts here in the life of Paul. Paul has been preaching, and you got to remember, these places where they're preaching, there are no churches. Church doesn't exist yet around there. But there's all these temples of all these false gods and, you know, people getting stirred up. And a big part of the business in some of these places is making these idols and these temple worship and all these things. And Paul rolls in and goes, you know, none of these are gods. None of them are gods. Woo! You're talking about rubbing folks the wrong way? Well, anyway, it got to a point where there was a mob and a massive crowd. And finally, the soldiers had to intervene and come and get him and take him out of the crowd because they were trying to tear him into pieces. They're trying to kill him. So they did. And but when they brought him out, the senior officer is trying to figure out what is all this uproar about. And he decides, which is kind of a common thing with the Romans, they were pretty brutal. He said, we'll just scourge him some and do some torture questioning and find out exactly who he is and what's going on. Because, you know, when people are being scourged, they tend to not lie and give the correct answers. So the chief captain, this is 22:24, Acts 22:24. The chief captain commanded him to be brought to the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging. Now, this is what they did to Jesus. Tied him to the post and whipped him and beat him. Scourging. This is torture. And a lot of people died from this. Not this plus crucifixion. You could die just from the scourging. And so examined means torturing and asking questions that they might know why they cried so against him. He just kind of assumed, I mean, to come in and stir up the city this bad, this guy must be a crook. He must be something bad. They're going to find out. And as they bound him with thongs, they're tying him to the scourging post. Paul turns, you know, they're tying him up to the post, getting ready to beat him. He turns around and says, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that's a Roman and uncondemned? Now, in that empire, Romans had rights. Everybody else had none. If you were a Roman, you were somebody. If you weren't, people could shoot you and drop you in a ditch. It wasn't no big deal. But if you were a Roman, they couldn't handcuff you. They couldn't arrest you. They certainly couldn't execute you without a proper trial and being convicted. And that's what he's saying. Verse 26, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain. He said, you need to watch what you're doing. This guy's a Roman. So the chief captain gets up from his, wherever he's at, he comes out. And he says, tell me, are you a Roman? Don't you know Paul was glad to say, sure am. Yes, I am. And the chief captain said, with a great sum obtained out of this freedom. It cost me a bunch of money to become a Roman. Paul said, yeah, but I was freeborn. Oh, hallelujah. What does that mean? It means his father was a Roman. And he was born to a Roman. And he's a citizen. So he's not somebody who found a path to being a citizen. He is a freeborn. Is all this typical of something else here? Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him and scourged him. They start untying the ties and they go, oh, sorry, Mr. Paul. Sorry, Mr. Paul. We are so sorry. Did not understand. And even the chief captain was afraid after he knew he was a Roman because he had tied him up. He had bound him. What am I saying all this for? Why is this in the scripture? Huh? Paul avoided that day a very bad situation. Why? He opened his mouth. I said he opened his mouth. He opened his mouth. What does that mean? What if he hadn't said anything? What if he just said, oh God, oh God. You know, oh no, no, no. He would, who knows? He would have been scourged. He could have been beat half to death or worse, you know, to death. Or, but no, he just comes and goes, excuse me. Is it okay for you to do this to a Roman citizen? And when just those two words, everybody went, huh? Huh? You're Roman. And so, you're Roman? Yeah. Oh, man. Everything stopped. The music stopped. They ran. They got the chief captain. He comes out and he says, are you really a citizen? He said, sure am. He's tied up, you know. And he said, it cost me so much money. He said, I was freeborn. 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 You and I, we were without God. And no hope in the world. We had no part in the covenants. We were on the outside looking in. But because Jesus didn't open his mouth and he let them do what they did to him, crucifying, killing, burying, and resurrection brought us the opportunity of being freeborn. Hallelujah. That if you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, you will be
saved.
Which is being born again, born free. It was freely given to you, and it gives you birth unto freedom. Free born. Oh, somebody say freeborn, freeborn, and also born free. Freeborn, born free. Now, friend, this is how we need to live. This is how we need to live. Anytime the enemy tries to put some junk on you. Huh? Bring against you something that's in the curse of the law, some kind of mental oppression and confusion or depression or fear or disease or lack or whatever it may be. He's trying to tie you to the post. He's trying to tie you to the post, and he's going to beat you. And if you don't open your mouth, I said, if you don't open your mouth, you will get a beating. You will get stolen from or destroyed or even killed. But tell me what you're going to do. Come on, Dad. Tell me what you're going to do. If something's going the wrong way, you better speak up. You better. Jesus didn't speak, so you can. You speak up and you go, hey, 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 you got a right to do this to a freeborn child of God with the name of Jesus. And that's if you do that and resist the enemy, that's why it says he will flee from you. They'll go, oh, 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 sorry, Mr. Keith, sorry, sorry, Mr. Edward, oh, oh, sorry, sorry, we didn't know, we're so sorry. We'll be over here. We need to declare we are free. We have been delivered from all the power of darkness. Yes. By his stripes I'm healed. Yes. He meets all my needs. Yes. We need to open our mouth. Yes. Stand on your feet, everybody. Hallelujah. Oh, give glory to God. Lift your hand. Give praise. Give thanks. Yes. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, altar workers, would you come to the front? Altar workers, please come to the front. I want us to do this just a little bit different today. Jesus said this. He said, if you're ashamed of me and my words before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father and his angels. But if you will confess me before men, Did you hear those words before, in front of men? I will confess you before the Father and His angels. Past this life, how many want the Lord to acknowledge you? Call your name. Yes, you do. Well, you must be unashamed of Him here and willing to confess His name. So if you've never done this anywhere at any time, if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord in front of anybody else, this is the perfect place to do it right now, right? Because all of us here, we're just for you. 100%. Right? And we're going to agree with you. And you may need to do this in some less comfortable places. So you get some practice doing it right here. In the easy place with us. They're going to sing. And as they do, if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior in front of anybody, publicly to anybody else, don't think twice about it. If you can't say, yes, I have, then this is for you. Find your way to the aisle and come down to the front, and you and I'll do it together. In front of these people. Is that all right? Sing and come while they sing.
Come to Jesus.
Step right out.
And
to confess Jesus
come
in front of people.
Jesus.
Come on. Come on. Several people need to do this. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Go ahead, sing, guys. Sing it out real strong. Everybody say, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Everybody. Watching in Branson, you do the same thing. Get up and come down. There are people standing there. Everybody watching online, just stand up and come closer to the screen. And the Lord knows you. I know some people, you received the Lord before, but you've never confessed Him as Lord in front of somebody else. You've been too mousy about it. You've been, kind of embarrassed or whatever. That gets broken today. He held His peace so you could speak. He opened not His mouth so you could speak right up. And thank God in our country, we got freedom. Hallelujah. We got freedom. Nobody's going to even come in here and arrest you for doing this. So as we sing again, don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this. If you don't know that you know, yeah, I have confessed Jesus in front of people. If you can't say that definitely, get yourself down to the front right now. Sing, let's go.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Praying with these, I'm praying with those in Branson, I'm praying with everybody online. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. This is exciting. The Lord said, if you confess me in front of people, before men, I will confess you in front of the Father and the angels. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful. So everybody standing here, I'm so glad you're not ashamed. Come a little bit closer this way and turn around and face these people. Hallelujah. And I'm going to do it with you. Come on up a little bit. Everybody, you say it with us. Everybody said out loud, Father God, I believe in you. I'm not ashamed of you. Jesus hung on the cross in front of everybody for me. And I am glad to boldly, loudly confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. I believe you, Lord, that you raised him from the dead. And I confess, Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. I receive everything you have done for me. Thank you for saving me. And thank you in time to come to confess me in front of the Father and his angels. Glory to God. Glory to God.